Good morning, Believers Church. It's day 4, 5, 6, 12. I don't even know. I just know that we miss you. I miss seeing you guys face to face. I miss hanging out. And, you know, we look forward to being together again one day. If you're watching from another church and just checking us out, or maybe you don't have a home church, welcome. Pray you guys have enjoyed the service. And I hope you guys had a great Easter last week and enjoyed the service. Pray God kept you safe from the storms that came through last week. I know it was a little crazy and got a little scary even out where we live as well. And pray God help and watch over those people who were affected, who had some houses and homes and property torn up. And I just can't wait to be back together again. But we're going to keep, like I said before, keep being the church, keep doing what God's asked us to do. We're going to kick off a new series today called Running with the Giants. And actually, it's not even a new series. We did it several years back, if you may remember it, if you've been around a while. But it's based on this idea that we can, there's this verse in Hebrews that talks about all these people of faith that have gone before us. And what if they could come down out of the stands? The Bible says that refers to our life and what we do here is a race we're running. What if they could come down out of the stands and run one lap with us? What would they tell us? What would they say to us? What advice would they give us? What warnings would they give us? Hey, watch out for this. I had this in my life. You need to watch out for it. What would that look like? I love the idea of this series because it, even today, of being able to hang out with people who are successful, who are the top of their game, not just because they're famous, but to learn something from them. I love watching other pastors who are successful, not because I envy them for their churches, but because it makes me better to watch them succeed, to see how they do it, how they study. You know, I have this picture here that hangs in my office. And if you don't know who this guy here is, then shame on you if you live in the state of Georgia. These are two of my heroes. The guy on right here is obviously is Vince Dooley. This picture was taken in 1959. And Coach Dooley was always one of my heroes growing up as a lifelong Georgia fan. I always wanted to play for him. Loved to watch his teams, and just he's obviously been successful. He's good at what he does. The other man is my grandfather. My grandfather was a high school football, basketball coach and later athletic director. He won state championships in football and basketball. Always wanted to, as a high school athlete, play for my grandfather, a play for Coach Dooley. But his coaching is not why my grandfather is a hero of mine. The reason is because that he was known for living what he preached. Kids all through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s all met Jesus. They became great athletes and good men, but they also met Jesus because my grandfather lived what he preached. He was also known for being a stickler on tithing and being a generous guy. He later in life, the older he got, the more generous he became, and God blessed him for it. But what if one of the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which is what we call the Hall of Faith, could come down and run a lap with us? Look how this verse in chapters 12 starts. It refers back to chapter 11. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith that we live, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, the sin that slows us up, that knocks us off course, the things that we put before God, and let us run this race with endurance, the race that God has set before us. Today, for a few minutes, I just want to ask this question. What do you think Noah would say? You've probably heard the story of Noah building the ark. He's the guy in the Old Testament that God said, hey, I'm going to flood the earth because people have gone way too far. There's too much evil, too much nastiness, and I'm wiping out the earth. I'm going to do it by flood. So build a boat, some 420-something feet long, and you're going to get your family on it. You're going to get two of every kind of animal, and that's how I'm going to keep the earth going. But everybody else is done. See, I'm going to give you some perspective of where Noah was and how he lived, or the time he lived. He lived about 3,000 B.C., about 10 generations removed from Adam. He didn't have kids until he was 500 years old. Took Noah 120 years to build an ark. The flood happened when he was 600, and he lived to be 950 years old. But look what the world was like when Noah was around. Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything that they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil." Sounds a lot like today if you ask those of us who live today. Genesis 6, 7 says, "And the Lord said, I will make this human race I've created from the earth." But then there's this line in Genesis 6, 8. It says, "But Noah found favor with God." The New King James Version says that Noah found grace with God. In other words, God wasn't going to give him what he was doing to the rest of humanity. He was going to have grace. He was going to give him a way out, give him somewhere else to go, give him a protector, redeem him, take care of him. You know, after I thought about this all week and I thought about my grandfather, coming off of Easter, I know things have been crazy. I know this change in the way we live our lives and the economy. I thought about Noah, how he affected his family and my grandfather, and how he affected my family. And I can speak for myself greatly how he did that. And I begin to see all of us now in our homes, and I want to give you something today that would encourage you. Encourage you for what you can do for your family. You can be what we'll see in a minute Noah was for his family. That what would Noah say to us if he could come down and give us some wisdom as we run this race of faith that we're currently running? You see, some of you, I think, probably are going to say and push back a little bit and say, "Clint, God can't use me like he did Noah. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I blew up at my kids this morning. I yelled at my wife last night. You don't know what I said, what I did, what I drank, what I smoked. You don't know who I've been with. You don't know, Clint. My life is too far gone. I'll be happy if I can just get to heaven, but I don't think God can use me." You see, I don't think that's true, because God can use you to impact your family's lives. And if Noah would tell us anything now, he would start off by saying, "Keep moving." For those of you who serve God and love him, keep moving. Keep getting closer. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep worshiping. Keep being the church. Keep serving others. Keep calling each other. It's what I've said for the last several weeks. We're going to keep being the church. If you don't know Jesus and don't have that relationship, then maybe this is today that you start. You see, Genesis 6 tells us that everyone, 6:12 says, everyone on the earth was corrupt. So it makes me wonder, did Noah even have to fight his own family? It took him 120 years to build the ark. Do you think they helped him? Laughed at him? The Bible's clear that everybody else was. They mocked him and laughed at him. He was building a boat on dry land, talking about a flood from rain that people had never seen before. At that time, rain had never come from the sky. The Bible tells us that the earth was watered from beneath. They were laughing at him. You see, you're probably thinking that people would laugh at you too. Well, they laughed at Noah. They thought he was crazy. Noah would say that no one's life is perfect. The Bible tells us that after the flood, even after he built the ark, he had the flood, God brought him out of it. Noah, God blessed Noah, and he was a successful farmer and had large vineyards. And one day he drank too much wine and got drunk, and his family, his sons, came and found him naked and drunk. See, today, that's some places, that's not that big a deal. But back then, you didn't even look at your father unclothed. The patriarch was the one of respect, and that brought shame and dishonor to his family. So even Noah, the Bible tells us, wasn't perfect. If I could ask Noah one thing, though, as he ran this lap, is how did he keep going for 120 years? Noah, how did you do it? How did you hammer and nail and cut and serve God, even when your family, everybody around you, the Bible says that everyone was evil? How did you keep doing it? What kept you going? And I'm only going to give you two. I'm sure there's more. But I think he would say, keep going. And how he kept going, the first thing he would say is that my obedience, this is even true for my life. My obedience brings God's blessing to my family. The Bible says in Genesis 9:1, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them all to be fruitful and multiply." Have you heard that before? Same thing God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. Now God was going to replenish the earth through Noah, because everybody alive would be on that boat. Psalm 112:1 says that how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Then look at the next verse. In verse 2, their children, those people who obey the commands, their children will be successful everywhere. And an entire generation of godly people will be blessed because somebody chose to do what was right. Somebody chose to believe in Jesus. Somebody chose to make a decision that was not just about their own selfish interest. And the Bible says that those who follow God this way, an entire generation will be blessed. Again, in Psalm 103, the Bible says, the wind blows and we're gone, as if we'd never been there. Life is short. You and I can be out of here quick. But look what the Bible says in verse 17, 103:17. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the generations of children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, those who obey his commands. See, your obedience is not just good for you, and it is. It's good for your family. And Noah would tell us, I kept going because I wanted that blessing on my family. I wanted my kids to know that blessing, my grandkids to know that blessing. Now, as we finish this race, or finish the lap, really, with Noah, what was the last thing I think he would say before he goes back up into the stands with the great crowd of witnesses? I think he would say, my obedience brought grace to my family. What do you mean by grace, Clint? You see, I know there are a lot of people, maybe you do, you pray for your sons and your daughters, your dads and moms and aunts and uncles, and you pray for friends and family that don't know God. Some of you really don't have a relationship with Christ, and I know you still pray for them. You want what's best. And the Bible does say there's power in prayer. But let me give you something else. See, when Noah did what he did and followed God, he says, I brought grace into my family. What he means is my family received the same grace that I received, and they didn't receive what everybody else was, and that was drowning. That was death. The same is true today. You can bring grace into your family. Now, let me be clear. You can't make your kids get saved. You can't make your family members follow Jesus. That's a decision only they can make. You can't make it for them, but you can introduce them to him. Give them every chance. I even think even beyond that, that as grace covers your life, it covers theirs, even to the point of protecting them. I often joke on when I'm on an airplane and I've flown with people who they're flying beside me on a commercial plane and they're scared and they say, well, what are we going to do if we die and crash? And I'll just tell them, we're not going to die and crash. And they say, why? And I say, it's because I'm on the airplane. And I've still got things to do for God, and he's not done with me yet. So we're not going to. So I think the same way, and I know that's a bit extreme, but the same way that grace covers our family. And I think Noah saw that for his. Look in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. This is the boat was finished. It says, when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat and take all your family. For among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. In other words, his family wasn't perfect. His family, maybe not even serving God, but because they were connected to Noah, they got to get on the boat. There are people connected to your life that need to get on the boat to have a chance to meet Jesus. They can do it through you. Again, some of you probably look at me right now at your phone, at your TV, your laptop, whatever you're watching, and say, Clint, you're crazy. They can't use me. They're going to laugh at me. They're not going to let me talk about God because they know what I've said. They know what I've done. Some of you have your even kids would laugh at you. Mom and Daddy, we know where you've been. We know what you've done. But that's all the more reason to look right back at them and tell them, yes, but I have a God who's forgiven me, and I've received grace, and I want you to have that same grace. You can introduce your family to Jesus. You can be the one that brings change into your family. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. This is the hall of faith. And this is talking about Noah. This is Noah's appearance in the hall of faith. It says, it was by faith that he built a large boat to do what? Save his family from the flood. You see, then it says he obeyed God. And we don't maybe necessarily talk about this. He did it because God told him to, and what he did resulted in humanity being saved. But make no doubt, Noah was doing it because he wanted to save his family. He wanted his family to have a chance to live He wanted his family to have a chance. The Bible says later that the rest of the earth was populated through Noah and his huge family. That's what he was doing it for, to save his family. Yes, you make a decision because it depends on your eternity when you meet Jesus. But whether you believe this or not in life, it's true, I think, even in your faith. Your decisions, good and bad, affect more than just you. It affects your family. I can today draw straight lines from my grandfather to me in my life and how I'm blessed and how my family's blessed. The way I see life and the way that I follow God and the way that I tithe and give and even the results of all of that, I can draw a line straight back to him because he made the decision to live his life following Jesus. He made a decision to make sure that we did the same thing, that my dad and my aunt, they followed God because he led the way. I want to end with this story, and this is out of the New Testament. This is Paul and Silas. And they're in jail. They've been thrown into jail. And then an earthquake happens. The earthquake shakes open the doors. And as Paul and Silas are coming out, they encounter the guards. And the guards are about to kill themselves because all the prisoners are going to be let loose. And so they decide to end their lives. And Paul and Silas tell them, hey, stop, don't. The guard then asks the question. The jailer says, what do I have to do to be saved? And then the jailer actually will eventually take them home. But look what Paul and Silas say in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And then there's a comma. And it says, and he and his entire household rejoiced. Why did they rejoice? Why did that comma get, and it says, and along with everyone in your household. Next verse it says, and everybody rejoiced. You see, he took them home. And in their house, he fed them and took care of them. And then he sat his family down and said, listen, I've decided to bring grace into this house through these two men, and let's listen. And in verse 34, it says, and they all believed in God. Because one man decided to bring those two home and feed them, take care of them, serve them, but also listen to the message of hope and listen to the message of Jesus. They received that grace. You see, grace is when we receive something we don't deserve. Mercy is when God withholds something that we do. We celebrated grace last week in Easter. We celebrated Jesus coming. It was God's gift to us, a grace to pay for our sins, to let us have eternity with him. And he withheld, in mercy, he withheld the judgment, the separation that we did deserve. Mercy held that back. And because of the decision this jailer made to bring people in and listen to them, he brought in grace. Because Noah decided to be obedient and follow God and be counted as one that was righteous, his family got on the boat and lived and had opportunity to walk with God. Had opportunity because Noah brought grace in. Again, I'm convinced that my grandfather can draw straight lines to my life, to my faith, my giving. And even I can probably trace it through the rest of my family. I too have had the grandmothers praying for you. They've been their influences, family members' influences in my life. You can be that today for your family. You can be that today. Even if you don't know God, you've never met Jesus, today you can pray something simple. Remember last week, if you missed it, I'll say it again. Go look up Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is who he says he is, the risen Son of God, then eternity is yours. Why not take one step? Why not today? Why not this morning? Why not now, sitting in your living room, your car, wherever you may be watching this? It doesn't have to be a big, giant, loud. It's just a simple time between you and God. Say, God, today I believe Jesus is who he says he is. And I receive him as my Savior. Forgive me, Father. I'm taking one step with you today. Why not today? Or maybe you're on the other side of this and you serve God and now you're kind of backed away. And you want to be that influence that Noah was on his family. Jump back in. Get back into the Bible. Get back into Word. Get back into worship. Connect. I know it's hard now, but connect with other Christians. Connect with your grow groups, your small groups. and let them feed into your life, and you can be that for Noah. That the grace of God, I believe, not only surrounds you, but surrounds your entire family and puts them all in a position to make the best decisions for Christ, to make the best decisions to follow Him. So you're either making the decision for the first time or you're returning. Or maybe you've been serving God, but you don't see yourself as being able to influence your family. Then I want to pray for all of you this morning, because I believe within all of us and all of you is the ability to, for eternity, change the direction of your family to one that is good, that is grace, that is mercy, that they all have a chance to get on board because you lead the way. And because the Bible says of God that He loved us all, He's made a way for all of us, even though we weren't right, even though we had a mess going. So let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for everybody within the sound of my voice. That, Father God, as they hear my voice, they don't just hear me, but they feel You. They feel Your presence, Father God. For those who don't know You, Father, for the first time, they would say, Jesus, I receive You now as my Lord and Savior. For those who have known You and fought, walked with You, Father God, that they would come back and begin to be that lead example in their family. Father God, they would be that seed of faith, that covering of grace. Father God, that the overarching blessing on their family, that they're blessed because they're there. The Spirit of God within them brings blessing. God, I thank You for my church family. I thank You again for everybody within the sound of my voice, that they hear You, follow You, and that today, Father God, today they take one step closer to You. And I thank You for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, we love you. We'll see you guys next week. I don't know when we're going to meet together again. We're taking it week by week. But know that we love you. I miss seeing you in person. I love my city. I love my county. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do here in our community. See you next week.